All right, tonight, our guest speaker on this Thanksgiving night, Brother Larry Bishop, there at the 9th and S3 Church of Christ in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He's going to come to us tonight in his own way, giving him thanks, coming from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 15 through 16. All right, Brother Bishop, tell us about it.
I'd like to say good evening to everyone, and thank you, Brother Tommy, for this opportunity to once again address this wonderful audience, as well as those who may be listening for the first time this evening by way of this nationwide weekly gospel call. Just also thankful to the brethren who have continued this ministry, especially during a time when men really need the Lord above all else. As I always remind people, there's never a time when we don't need prayer, as well as there's never a time when we don't need the Lord. This message tonight, with everyone gathered around with their families, hopefully, after having a great dinner and everything in celebration of our nation's holiday for Thanksgiving, set aside for Thanksgiving, which we understand that we are to do as Christians. We are to be thankful every day and give thanks every day to the great God that we serve and his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's an urgent need for salvation. There's an urgent need for man to obtain salvation. There's an urgent need for man to maintain his salvation. And then there are cases where there may be some in the audience tonight who have a need to regain salvation. It's my prayer that this lesson will be beneficial to you in whichever way it may affect you tonight, whether it's to attain salvation, to maintain your salvation, to work on some things that you have weak areas in, or whether it's to regain salvation, to bring you back into the comfort and fold of the Lord. Today, throughout our nation and even the world, Americans celebrate a unique holiday. It's a time that is, it reminds many to give thanks to God for all that he has done by way of blessing and providing for us as well as our families. Now, I know that many have had a wonderful meal with their families today and loved ones, and many have even gone back for seconds and some even thirds. And just so you know, you're not by yourself. I went back for seconds a little while ago myself. But I understand also the difficulties that a preacher faces when he speaks before an audience, especially the one that has consumed a good meal. So I won't attempt tonight to push you beyond what you are capable of enduring this evening by way of the constraints of a full belly. But keep in mind that it is God who has blessed you to have had your fill at whatever meal you consume today. So I hope that you will in turn give listen for just a few minutes this evening as I come to you this evening from the subject, giving him thanks. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 19. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 11, excuse me. Luke chapter 17, I hope you got your Bibles with you. For those who have family members who have come to be with you, and you may have gone to be with them, you're listening to this call, I pray that you have a copy of God's holy word with you to share with them. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 11, where it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And I'll explain that a little bit to you later on. And it says in verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices." Remember, they stood afar off. It says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." And verse number 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan," or a stranger. And verse number 17 says, "And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are
chapter 9, there are not found that the time to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. Once again, verse number 16 says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. What was he giving him thanks about? Because the leprosy that they all were plagued with, as they were walking away, as commanded by Jesus, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they turned and started to walk away, they were miraculously cleansed. And it says, and one of them stopped and turned around and with a loud voice glorified God. And in the presence of Jesus, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. I want to look briefly this evening, particularly at verse number 16, where once again it says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, I can imagine that at some point in their living with the dreaded disease of leprosy, that it crossed the minds of maybe one, two, possibly all 10 of the men who were lepers, that what it would be like to not have to live under such conditions. At some point, we just have to imagine that at some point in these 10 men's lives, it crossed their minds what it would be like to not have to live under the current condition, which was leprosy. Especially, I want you to understand this now, especially when one understands the hopelessness associated with being a leper. Remember now, this was a disease that had no known cure as far as man was aware of at the time. Now, just a brief background, so this will really sink in for you, the importance of giving him thanks as seen through the eyes of these 10 men, but in particular this one individual, the Samaritan, who turned around and gave him thanks. A little background, in Bible times, people suffering from the skin disease of leprosy were treated as outcasts. That there was no cure for the disease, which gradually left a person disfigured through loss of fingers, toes, and eventually limbs. You see, leprosy sufferers had to leave their home and family and live together with other sufferers on the outskirts of the town. They would have to scavenge for food. So can you see the condition that these 10 men found themselves in on a daily basis? It was just something that they had become accustomed to being in, a condition that there was no cure for it. And then it goes on to speak about the condition of leprosy. It says they were forbidden to have any contact with people who did not have the disease, and they had to ring a bell and shout unclean if anyone approached them. Notice they called out to Jesus. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They were not to come into a certain number of feet of individuals who did not have the disease. So you see that they called out to Jesus because they were not allowed to come any closer to him. Think about this. They could not go to the marketplace and were forbidden even to take part in worship because of this disease. And also why you're imagining how these men, at some point, they had to contemplate how it felt, how it would feel to not have to live under these conditions. And while living with leprosy, one can imagine how thankful, think about this now, how thankful the affected individual would be towards anyone who could offer them a cure of any sort. Perhaps the affected individual, while hoping and anticipating the day when they would be cured, how easily the gratitude and thankfulness would flow from their heart to their lips. Remember the story now, 10 men that had leprosy. Jesus said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Because upon someone being cleansed of leprosy somehow, they were to have an inspection done by the priest before they would be allowed to enter back into society. But think about this. Think about having rehearsed in your heart all of this time and the gratitude and the thankfulness that would flow from your heart to your lips upon this time after the coming. But now here it is. And now you have these 10 men who were lepers, blessed to come into contact with none other than the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, someone whom they had obviously heard stories about, the healing powers that he possessed. One more time for your hearing. Luke chapter 17, verse number 14 through 18. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Notice what happens here. And as they were going, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, this thing happened instantaneously. He saw that he was healed. Not he was healing, but he saw that he was healed. He stopped and he turned back. And with a loud voice, can you imagine this man saying, praise God, glory be to God. With a loud voice, he glorified God. And to show his appreciation, you see, I'm a firm believer that your attitude reflects your gratitude. The way you respond to someone who has blessed you, your attitude reflects that. And here's a prime example of someone's attitude reflecting their gratitude. It says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Now, I have a question here. As I prepare to close here, I have a question. What would have been some of the things that you, those of you who know God, and those of you who are listening tonight who need to come to know God, what would have been some of the things that you would have allowed to flow from your heart or to your lips by way of giving him thanks? As I looked in the scriptures and searched the scriptures, I came across so many different instances in which individuals, they made known to God how appreciative they were. They made known to God the depth of their gratitude, and they gave thanks to him for many different things and in many different ways. Let me share some of those with you tonight as I close here. In Psalm 7, verse 17, imagine you find yourself in the situation where now your leprosy, your deadly disease has been taken away from you, and you have come to know God. Psalm 7, verse 17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Would you be one who would give thanks to God because of his righteousness? Whatever God does is right. He is the God of righteousness. Someone say, if he was such a righteous God, why would these men be allowed to live in this condition? He is the God of righteousness in spite of your situation. So I will give thanks to God for his righteousness, knowing that no matter what is going on in my life, God is still righteous. In Psalm 9, verse number 1, it says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. What would I hold back? Nothing. I will give thanks to him with all of my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Think about all of the wonderful things that God has done in your life. Those of you who have come to obey the gospel of Christ, who are considered to be the children of God, and those that I pray will come to that understanding and to that fulfillment to obey the gospel of Christ. Think about all of the deeds that God does for us that we ought to be thankful about. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love. What about thanking him for his goodness and for his love, which endures forever? What about his faithfulness, which continues through all generations? When you become a child of God, David said, I've been young and now I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg bread. God has the ability to bless not only you, but those of your lineage who come behind you. All of his wonderful blessings, generations. Psalm 107, verse 21 and 22 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. You see, God is a God of unconditional love. He don't love us because. He don't love us when and if. He loves us in spite of. That's called unconditional love. So he has an unfailing love. Should we not be thankful to him for his unfailing love on this day of Thanksgiving and every day? And his wonderful deeds for mankind, his prized creation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for
invalid option.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him for everything. Would it have flown from your lips your debt of gratitude? As in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, where here it says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Because of your appreciation and your giving him thanks for allowing you to be a recipient, to be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go do the necessary things, obeying the gospel, to become a child of God, to live your life for him, aren't you not to be thankful to him that you can live your lives in him, being rooted and built up in him and strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. When is there not a good time to pray? When is there not a good time to thank God? You see, I've learned as a child of God to thank him when I'm on top of the mountain, as well as those times where I find myself, for whatever reason, down in the valley. Because the same God who took me up out the valley in the first place and placed me on the top of the mountain, don't you know that I understand and I'm thankful that if something happens in my life, that there's a need for me to be back in the valley, that God has the ability to put me back on top again? So I thank him in all circumstances. I thank him during times of sorrow. I thank him for times of joy. I just simply want to give thanks to him. And as I close this evening, my friends, sharing with you from the subject, giving him thanks, let me just say this tonight. As we sit around the table with our families and friends and loved ones, I pray that you have taken time today to really consider all the things that you have to be thankful for. And just by chance, if there are some that you may have missed, just if there are some that I may have missed, because there are so many things we ought to be thankful for, I'm giving him thanks for my family and my friends. I'm giving him thanks for my health and the health of loved ones. I'm giving him thanks for his sacrifice on the cross. I'm giving him thanks for the salvation which is only in Christ Jesus. I'm giving him thanks for the blood that he shed for the remission of my sins. I'm giving him thanks for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm giving him thanks for the power of his blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm giving him thanks for the mercy he affords me every day. I'm giving him thanks for the justice that awaits me at the judgment. I'm giving him thanks for the abundant life he offers me now while on this earth. I'm giving him thanks for the privilege to be called a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm giving him thanks tonight for the hope of heaven. I'm giving him thanks tonight for the promise of eternal life to come. I'm giving him thanks. And as I think about the 10 lepers, just think about that. There was 10 of them. And as they walked away, Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they walked away, it says they were healed. And it says one of them, stop and turn and glorify God. I can't help, brothers and sisters, and your loved ones who you have around the table with you who may not be members of the body of Christ at this time. As I think about all the things that I have to be thankful for, I go back to this one individual, the one who turned and glorified God and gave him thanks and fell on his face. I can't help but to think that he, in his heart, he thought about the one who had told him about Jesus. You see, somebody had to have told those 10 lepers about Jesus, and it caused them to want to know more. So tonight, as I close out this lesson, I give thanks to the Lord for the one who shared with me the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you too can come to know God and be known of God, that you could also be in a position of giving him thanks. And this evening, as I close this lesson, it is my prayer that as you recognize the goodness, the mercy, the grace, the unconditional love of God, that you want to be more than just his creation. You want to be known as his child, and he be known as your father. Someone asked the question, well, preacher, how does this happen? Tell me, I want to know more. I want to know how to become a child of God. I'm so glad that you asked. You see, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Once again, I'm so thankful that you asked. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the story of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You see, in Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," talking about the gospel, "the power of his death, his burial, and his resurrection." That story, Paul says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation."
Invalid option.
"To the Jew first and also to the Greek." You say this gospel is talking about the death and the burial and the resurrection. Tell me more, preacher. I want to know more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, Paul lays out the three facts of the gospel. He talks about the death, he talks about the burial, and he talks about the resurrection. In order for one to become a child of God, it's such a simple process. Man has polluted and diluted in all kinds of unmissable ways. But when you go back to the scripture, it still comes down to the simple fact that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and it involves three facts: the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus died on the cross, and they took his lifeless body off that cross. And trust me, I know there are stories going around saying that he wasn't dead, and they took him off and laid him in the tomb, and then he woke up and left, and they came and took him out and all these different things. But those men who stood at the feet of that cross, those Roman soldiers, they were familiar with death. Those guys were professionals when it came to death. And they knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was dead when they took him off that cross. Because of their familiarity with death, they took his lifeless body off that cross, they laid him in a grave, a borrowed tomb, and thanks be to God, on the third day he got up. That's the gospel. It's the story, the fact of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Paul says the power of God. Well, how does this all come together? Let me share that with you real briefly here as I close. You see, when one hears that story, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When one hears the story of the gospel, they have to be willing to believe it. Why is that important? Because in Hebrews 11:6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." When one hears that story, you have to remove all doubt from your mind. You have to be willing to believe it. And if you believe that story when it's shared with you, like I'm sharing with you tonight, if you truly believe your heart has been pricked and you believe that story, it should cause you to change, to repent. Repentance involves a change. It's necessary to have a change of direction. It involves stopping the direction that you were going and turning and going the way of God. In Luke 13, 3 and 5, it says, Jesus says, except you repent, you will perish. What's the alternative? Perishing. So one has to hear the gospel. The facts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they have to believe it. They have to be willing to repent or have a change of mind. They must be willing to confess with their mouth that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No one amongst us has gotten into the church or come into the church of Christ without being willing to confess that they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. However, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Will you be willing to confess him? And then, once one has made that noble confession, they must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of sin. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that Jesus, that God has made the same Jesus crucified, both Lord and Christ. It says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and his apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Baptism is a burial. It's a burial in water. And the beginning of the church, there were 3,000 souls added that day. And every one of those 3,000 souls had to be baptized in the water. It's a burial. It's a covering up. It's not a sprinkling. It's not a pouring. It's not a walkthrough. It's a burial. And when one is baptized into Christ, one goes down into the water grave of baptism. That's considered to be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26-27, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, who have many been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. When one goes under that water, some things happen. You know, we have faith in our washing machines, right? You put those clothes in there, and you put all those different detergents and things in there, and you push a button, and you walk away. And you have faith to come back, and when it comes back, when you come back, your clothes are going to be clean. You don't know everything that's going on inside that cycle, but a lot of things are taking place. All you know is that at the end of that cycle, you take your clothes out, and they clean. Now, don't try to mess with my point, okay? Maybe your wash is broken or thing. But under normal circumstances, everything is clean. But you don't know the process. In baptism, some things take place. Let me explain to you some things that take place when one goes under that water. The old man, the old you, is crucified. That means it's buried. That's why we're buried with him in baptism, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. Also, you contact the blood of Christ. Not only do you contact the blood of Christ, but your sins are remitted. They're taken away. Also, an operation takes place. You now have the answer of a good conscience towards God. The process of reconciliation of one coming back to God, reconciliation begins. You're no longer a servant of sin, but a servant of righteousness. All of this is happening in the process of baptism. While you're under that water, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you come about that water, it's like a child breaking water, being born from his mother's womb. You come about that water, and the Lord takes that soul and adds that soul to the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, his wife. He's coming back for her. It's that body, that soul is added to the church for safekeeping. And Jesus says, here's the clincher here. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Don't you have a lot to be thankful for? Of all those things I mentioned that you had to be thankful for, now you can add to the list that somebody, if you're not a child of God, that somebody asked you to sit and listen to this message tonight. That gives you one more thing to be thankful for. But most of all, if you set out and obey the gospel of Christ, get with the one who put you on this call and get in touch with Brother Brooks or myself or some of the other preachers involved or what this member attends, and they will help you to get baptized, and you will be so thankful because now you have the right to the tree of life. You are a child of God, and you have something truly to be thankful for. And when it's come time to give him thanks, you really have something to give him thanks for. I pray that tonight this message has sunk into some honest and sincere heart. Be baptized, giving him thanks. Be like that one individual that in spite of the crowd continuing to go their way, that you'll be willing to stop and turn around and give God thanks. I pray this lesson has been a blessing to you tonight. I pray that God continue to bless you and your family, and I pray that you continue to give him thanks. At this time, I turn you back over into the hands of our very capable Brother Brooks.